This podcast contains explicit content. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to the Creepy Cannabis Podcast, where we chat all things creepy, cannabis, true crime, paranormal, and weird. I'm Madeline.
I'm Rachel. And hello.
Hello.
It's such a dreary day.
Yeah.
But it's cozy. It flips up. Got it. Sorry, I brought Maddie a drink because we're both dying of absolute dry mouth.
Yeah.
So badly.
We should have drank before we started, but it's fine.
Don't act like you guys aren't sitting over there also needing a sip real quick. We'll wait. Go ahead. I'll take my sip and you take yours. Okay. What's the strain today, my sweets?
The strain is called biscotti.
Biscotti, like the cookie?
Mm-hmm. I'm hungry. Same. It's a cross between gelato number 25 and Girl Scout cookies and South Florida OG.
I don't think I've had South Florida, but I think I've had the other two strains.
Yeah, Girl Scout cookies is a good one. It's a pretty indica dominant hybrid, usually around 25% THC, but it is used to treat conditions such as chronic stress, anxiety, depression, mood swings, and chronic pain. It has an insanely delicious sugary cookie flavor, but it has a spicy exhale. So
that actually sounds delicious.
But they say it gives you a calming body high and causes you to feel giggly. So
okay, I need to be clear that that was not a fart.
It was a fart.
In my chair.
It may have been a fart.
And air pooped up my back. Because if it was a real fart, the shame would not allow me to leave it in. Only a fake fart could make it. And Maddie will confirm in moments when she smells nothing but dank, dank cannabis.
Yes, that's fair.
Anyway, sorry about that. It was just really loud, so I presume everyone heard it.
I mean, could be.
I apologize for interrupting. I'm going to mind my own business over here. You carry on.
Okay. So, today we are going to be talking about Europe's oldest known natural human mummy.
Oh, snap.
Named Otzi, the Iceman.
Not Otzi, the Iceman. You know Brad Pitt has a tattoo of him?
No. Mm-hmm. That's so weird.
I'll pull it up while you continue.
Okay. On September...
Guys, this is like our 45th episode. We're doing our fucking best.
September 19th, 1991. At an elevation of about 10,930 feet. I'm going to skip some of that and just go to the Australian-Italian border.
Yeah. Is it hefty?
It's hefty. Two German tourists who discovered Otzi's body thought him to be a recently deceased climber. The next day, a mountain gendarme.
Oh, what? What did you just say to me? Is there an
gendarme? Mountain rural police.
Okay, so the mountain rural police.
Yeah, and the keeper of the nearby Similuante.
Oh, it's hard to be so many names.
Why is this so hard?
Wait, take a second and look at this picture. Clear your mind.
Why? Why?
I don't know.
It's weird.
It's a little bit weird. Okay. I don't know why I know that. That's even
weird.
That
is weird.
Okay, so at a place at a very high elevation,
A mountain.
Between somewhere in Italy.
Mm-hmm. And Austria. Even though prior I said Australian, Italian okay. border, as if that was possible.
Read between the lines, guys. Okay.
Australia doesn't border anything.
You read between those geography lines right now. Okay.
Literally everyone in Australia was like, what the fuck is this bitch
they were
talking
like,
about?
R&R.
Australian Italian border. Okay, let me recenter. They're in Austria.
They're in between Austria and Italy.
Yes.
There is
a mountain.
A mountain, for sure.
Yes. So they first attempted to remove the body, which was frozen in ice below the torso, using a drill and ice axes, but the bad weather forced them to give that up.
Okay.
Immediately. So within a short time, 8 groups had visited the site, among whom mountaineers Hans Kammerlander.
All I can picture. All I can picture is Zoolander. Start over. I can't stop. Carry on. Okay, Zanderlander.
And Reinhold Messner.
Okay, thank God.
That was better.
Thank God.
Body was just Messner. The body was extracted on the 22nd of September. And salvaged the following day. It was transported to the office of the medical examiner in Innsbruck, together with other objects found nearby. On September 24th, the find was examined there by an archaeologist named Konrad Spindler of the University of Innsbruck, and he dated the find to be at least 4,000 years old on the basis of the typology of the axe amongst the retrieved objects.
That's wild to me.
Tissue samples from the corpse and other accompanying materials were later analyzed at several scientific institutions, and the receipts.
You don't have any regrets?
The receipts, not even one letter.
Nah, bro, no regrets.
Regrets.
At least we know the strain's doing its job.
The results unequivocally concluded that the remains belonged to someone who had lived between 3359 and 3105 BC.
BC as in before Christ, our Lord and Savior?
Before
Jesus?
Christ.
Okay.
About 5,000 years ago.
No big deal.
More specific estimates find that there was a 66% chance that he died between 3239 and 3105, and a 33% chance that he died between 3359 and 3294 BC.
Okay.
So there's also a 1% chance that he died between 3277 and 3268 BC.
I'm going to say he died somewhere in 3200.
Yeah.
Somewhere in the 3200s.
Before Christ.
Before Christ is all we need to know.
Okay. There was a border dispute over Otzi because it was found between Austria and Italy. And at the Treaty of Saint Germain of 1919, of course, the border between North and South Tyrol was defined as the watershed of the rivers Inn and Etsch near Tisenjo.
Guys, it's not, the names aren't funny. It's funny that we can't pronounce a single fucking thing if it is not.
I'm so unsure.
Like, yeah, if I don't hear it, I have to hear it and understand.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, we're doing our best. We're not trying to not do it.
There's no what is it? The spelling?
Oh gosh. There's no
phonetic.
Yes.
Spelling.
Thank you. No indicators.
I said euphemism as if that was at all related.
I knew exactly what you're talking about. In my head, I was drawing the symbols and the dashes but I couldn't think of the word.
Fucking Morse coding it over here.
We're trying our best. The point is there was a border dispute because it was found between Austria and Italy. That's
correct.
What we know for sure.
That's one thing we do know. So although his find site drains to the Austrian side, land surveys in October of 1991 ultimately proved that the body had been located inside Italian territory.
Bless. Mm. Okay, so he's Italian.
So, which goes along with Italy's original 1919 ownership claim. And the Provence of South Tyrol, claimed property rights but agreed to let Innsbruck University finish its scientific examinations. Okay. So, since 1998, he has been on display.
In display. I like the vibrato you have.
Like, why would he be on display?
Because okay. It's cool.
I guess. At the South Tyrol Museum of Archaeology in Bolzano, the capital of South Tyrol, a municipality of Italy. The corpse had been extensively examined, measured, x-rayed, dated, although the dates vary widely, as I previously stated. Tissues and intestinal contents have been examined microscopically, as have the items found with the body. So in August 2004, frozen bodies of three Austro-Hungarian soldiers killed during the Battle of San Mateo in 1918 were found on the mountain Punta San Mateo in Trentino.
You did great.
Thank you. One body was sent to a museum in the hope that research on how the environment had affected its preservation would help unravel Otzi's past.
That's pretty cool, actually. I never really understood things like carbon dating and just how they dated really anything, but I feel like this helps my brain kind of wrap around it a little bit better.
Yeah. At the time of his death, he was about 5'3", weighing about 110 pounds, and was 45 years old,
aww,
supposedly. When his body was found, it weighed 30 pounds. Because the body was covered in ice shortly after his death, it had only partially deteriorated, and initial reports claimed that his penis and most of his scrotum were missing. But that was later shown to be unfounded. So people were just wildly speculating, as usual.
People were just like, you know what? I bet his dick isn't there.
Like, well, let's just say his dick's not there. See what happens.
You know what? Fuck it. Take the scrotum, too.
Oh, why, TMZ?
I'm deceased.
Analysis of pollen, dust grains, and isotopic composition of his tooth enamel.
That's wild.
Indicates that he spent his childhood near present South Tyrol village of Feldthurns, north of Bolzano, but later went to live in valleys, like 30 miles north.
So you're telling
how the fuck can they tell that from tooth enamel?
Because I was like, fuck? What do you think the McDonald's tells them about where I lived as a kid?
I'm skeptical of how they can tell that from a tooth, but
I absolutely think it is wildly bizarre and one of the coolest things I've ever heard in my life. This entire thing so far, I'm like, is that how they do it? Is that how they do it? And I love it.
In 2009, a CAT scan revealed that the stomach had shifted upward to where his lower lung area would normally be. An analysis of the contents revealed partially digested ibex meat.
How's that spelled? I need to know what that is.
IBEX.
Okay.
Confirmed by DNA analysis suggesting he had a meal less than 2 hours before his death. Wheat grains were also found. And it is believed that he most likely had a few slices of dried fatty meat, probably like bacon, which came from a wild goat.
Okay, yep, ibex is wild mountain goat. So there's, look at it, look at that thing, the horns on that bitch.
Damn,
I know, that's pretty cool.
So the intestinal contents showed two meals, the last one consumed like 8 hours before his death, one of chamoy meat.
No, okay, how's that spelled?
Chamois.
Okay.
The other of red deer and herb bread.
It's just another, like, antelope deer looking thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Both were eaten with roots and fruits.
I don't know why my brain went to, like, a bebop for my goddaughter. Like, roots and fruits, roots and fruits. Gotta eat them, roots and fruits.
You're like, literally going to be singing
dude,
that.
Dude, if you have kids, you know, you just be making up the wildest shit. Like, I will just make up a song about any fucking thing to appease that baby. Anything. Roots and fruits it is, girl.
The grain also eaten with both meals was a highly processed einkorn wheat bran.
I ain't looking it up. No. I'm just going to believe you.
Quite possibly eaten in the form of bread.
Okay.
In the proximity of the body and thus possibly originating from his provisions, Chaff and grains of acorn and barley and seeds of flax and poppy were discovered, as well as kernels of sloes, small plum-like fruits of the blackthorn tree.
I do love plums.
And various seeds of berries that were growing in the wild.
So it sounds like he, like, was foraging to me.
I think they all had to do that back then.
Things. Yeah, he was, like, collecting some
That's
shit.
How they survived.
He was like, let me get some seeds for the village. You know? He sounds like a stand-up citizen.
Yeah. Pollen in the first meal showed that it had been consumed in a mid-altitude conifer forest.
The fuck? But now you're telling me the goddamn forest in which forth the pollen came from?
The conifers?
You gotta tell me which bee's butthole it fucking fell out of. I know that's not how pollen moves around. Just calm down.
And kind of is. And other pollens indicated the presence of wheat and legumes, which may have been domesticated crops.
Okay.
Pollen grains of hop hornbeam were also discovered. The pollen was very well preserved, with the cells inside remaining intact, indicating that it had been fresh at the time of his death, which places the event in spring or early summer, most likely, because it's harvested in the late summer. They were probably stored from the previous year, something like that. High levels of both copper particles and arsenic were found in his hair, along with his copper axe blade, which was 99% pure copper. So,
do you know how much money that I can't.
Yeah,
that's really awesome.
So he was probably involved in copper smelting.
Oh, not so. Copper smelting.
Yes, copper smelting.
I don't have the heart to look that up.
By examination of the proportions of his tibia, femur, and pelvis, it was postulated that his lifestyle included long walks over hilly terrain. This degree of mobility is not characteristic of other Copper Age Europeans, which may indicate that he was a high-altitude shepherd.
This is starting to feel so invasive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this guy did not consent.
I know,
to
he
guy.
Really didn't. He's like, what the fuck?
He is definitely.
He's like, damn, they were good.
He's in the afterlife and he's like, 5'4".
They've even used, like, modern 3D scanning technology to create a facial reconstruction, showing him looking for his. Oh, excuse me. Looking old for his 45 years, with deep-set brown eyes, a beard, a furrowed face, and sunken cheeks.
I will be Googling this.
So what was his health like at the time of his death? So he had whipworm.
Yeah.
Okay. An intestinal parasite. And during CT scans, it was observed that 3 or 4 of his right ribs had been cracked while he was lying face down after death, or where the ice had crushed his body. One of his fingernails, one of the two found, shows 3 lines indicating he was sick 3 times in the 6 months before he died.
Wait a goddamn minute.
What in the fuck?
Let me get my flashlight. Hold the fuck up. I get COVID every other week, so should mine just be a grid at this point?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to investigate this and get back to you guys.
I'm curious.
That. Do you want to see a picture of him really quick?
Mm-hmm. Scary.
He kind of, you know who he looks like? Who's the guy from Step Brothers that's not Will Ferrell? John C.
Riley?
Mm-hmm. That's who he, like, low-key gives me, like, the face of. Like, look, a little bit. A little bit in the mouth, a little. I'm going to get a comparison photo for you later. Okay. Carrying on.
So that's interesting. And then the last incident, 2 months before he died, lasted about 2 weeks. How the fuck do they know that?
I can't get past this technology.
I'm not sure about that. It appears that his epidermis, the outer skin layer, was missing, a natural process from his mummification in ice. And his teeth showed considerable internal deterioration from cavities. These oral pathologies may have been brought about by his grain-heavy, high-carb diet. And DNA analysis in 2012 revealed that he was lactose intolerant.
Because we're not supposed to drink the titty milk of a huge fucking mammal.
Could be.
It's got hormones for growth for their huge babies. Yeah. I say as I drink milk every second of every day.
Lattes.
Want some cheese.
Oh, I love cheese.
So.
Oh, so good. Supporting the theory that lactose intolerance was more common at that time, despite the increasing spread of agriculture and dairying, his lungs were examined endoscopically and were found to be blackened by soot due to his frequent proximity to open fires for warmth and cooking. He had 61 tattoos consisting of 19 groups of black lines ranging from 1 to 3 millimeters in width and 7 to 40 millimeters in length. These include groups of parallel lines running along the longitudinal axis of his body and to both sides of the lumbar spine, as well as a mark behind the right knee and on the right ankle and parallel lines around the left wrist.
That's wild.
The greatest concentration of markings is found on his legs, which exhibit 12 groups of lines. A microscopic examination of samples collected from these tattoos revealed that they were created from pigment manufactured out of a fireplace, ash or soot. This pigment was then rubbed into small linear incisions or punctures.
No. No.
And no. He may have been repeatedly tattooed in the same location since the majority of them were quite dark.
That sounds yucky to me.
Mm-hmm. Radiological examination of his bones showed age-conditioned or strain-induced degeneration. That was a lot. Corresponding to many tattooed areas, including osteochondrosis and slight spondylosis in the lumbar spine, and wear and tear degeneration in the knee and especially in the ankle joints. These tattoos may have been part of pain relief treatments similar to acupuncture or acupressure, although he lived at least 2,000 years before their earliest known use in 10,000 BC in China.
I'm just trying to go from how something sounds so painful was used for pain relief, but...
I'm confused as well. I mean,
bloodletting is a form of pain relief, so...
Oh.
And cupping and other things that look... physically uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at the chiropractor. It sounds like they're literally snapping
your neck. Yeah, it feels so good, though.
It's great.
9 out of the 19 of his tattoos... Well, first of all, they just said he had 62 tattoos, so that ain't lining up. But 19 groups of tattoos, excuse me, was located next to or directly on acupunctural areas used today. So...
That's pretty cool.
That's interesting. At one point, it was thought that he was the oldest tattooed human mummy, but in 2018, tattoos were discovered on nearly identically aged Egyptian mummies. So, there's no date on there, though. I really can't compare, but,
Listen, nearly identical. Maybe because they don't actually know the exact date of any of them. But around the same age. Because I think the thing is, Egyptian mummies were mummified on purpose, whereas Ossi is just like a natural mummification. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, like, they controlled what parameters you found the bodies in.
Yeah. In 2015, researchers photographed the body using non-invasive multispectral techniques to capture images on different light wavelengths that are imperceptible by humans, revealing the remainder of tattoos that were very hard to see. Without it.
Oh, okay. So, like, I mean...
His epidermis did slide off, so... I would imagine.
Ew.
He wore a cloak made of woven grass and a coat, a belt, a pair of leggings, okay, comfy, and okay, a loincloth, and shoes, all made of leather from different animal skins.
I also need a sip. Please hold. Take a sip of water. It's good for you.
I almost died. The shoes were waterproof and wide, seemingly designed for walking across the snow, and they were constructed using bearskin for the soles, deer hide for the top, and a netting made of tree bark. Soft grass went around the foot and in the shoe and functioned like a sock. And the coat, belt, and leggings and loincloth were constructed of vertical strips of leather sewn together. His belt had a pouch sewn to it that contained a cache of useful items, a scraper, a drill, a flint flake, a bone, awl, and dried fungus.
Dried fungus.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if it helps light fire.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
You did just say that's what it was for. But look, I've consumed, okay? I'm trying to keep up.
The shoes have been reproduced by a Czech academic who said that because the shoes are actually quite complex, I'm convinced that even 5,300 years ago, people had the equivalent of a cobbler who made shoes for other people.
That's pretty cool.
The reproductions were found to constitute such excellent footwear that it was reported that a Czech company offered to produce the rights to sell them. However, the shoes were actually the upper part of snowshoes. I don't know what that means, but
like they didn't have the
bottom
the
part,
the wide net portion. Oh. Do you know how, like, you ever see like a snow movie where they put badminton things on their feet to walk through the snow?
Oh,
uh-huh. So maybe it was missing. Like, so they have the shoe part, but they don't have the actual snow traction part.
I see.
Yeah, that's a guess, but
could be. According to this theory, the item currently interpreted as part of a backpack is actually the wood frame and netting of one snowshoe.
I'm deceased.
An animal hide to cover the face. You were right.
Deceased.
The leather loincloth and hide coat were made from sheepskin, and genetic analysis showed that the sheep species was nearer to a modern domestic European sheep than to a wild sheep. Okay. So, the items were made from the skins of at least four animals. Part of the coat was made from domesticated goat.
Not those domesticated
goats.
Goat.
Oh, God. He was a coat goat. Belonging to a common ancestor that inhabits Central Europe today, basically. The coat was made from several animals from two different species and was stitched together using hides. The leggings were made from domesticated goat leather. And a similar, like, set of 5,000-year-old leggings was discovered in Switzerland.
I can't get past the leggings terminology.
I know. Also made from goat leather. Goat leather leggings.
It's good to know for when I start my farm that I can make goat leather leggings.
I'm concerned. The shoelaces were made from the European genetic population of cattle. The quiver was made from wild roe deer. The fur hat was made from brown bear, which lives in that region today.
The man's out here hunting bears.
It seems that way.
Making hats.
And researchers from Ireland and Italy reported their analysis of his clothing's mitochondrial DNA, which was extracted from 9 fragments of his 6 garments, including his loincloth and fur cap.
So now they're testing, like, the actual skin of the animals that made his clothes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I need to stop gagging in case people don't like that. I can't help it, though.
Other items found with the Iceman were a copper axe with a U-handle and a chert-bladed knife with an ash handle and a quiver of 14 arrows with viburnum and dogwood shafts.
Okay, that's a lot.
Two of the arrows, which were broken, were tipped with flint and had fletching, while the other 12 were unfinished and untipped. The arrows were found in a quiver with what was presumed to be a bowstring and an antler tool that might have been used for sharpening arrow points.
He did a lot of shit on this person.
Yeah, he really fucking did. Jesus God. In addition...
No! Not more!
They found berries,
two
birch bark baskets, and 2 pieces of polypore mushrooms with leather strings through them.
So he was making necklaces out of mushrooms.
Yeah.
He had baskets with berries in them.
Okay.
Okay.
One of these, the birch fungus, is known to have deworming properties and was probably used for medicinal purposes.
Oh, because he didn't have those worms. Mm-hmm. Look how smart he is.
The other type was a tinder fungus used to help firelight kindling.
Not tinder fungus.
So we were both right.
Oh, look at that.
He had 2 kinds. The kit featured pieces of over a dozen different plants in addition to flint and pyrite for creating sparks.
That's really cool.
His axe was of particular interest. It was made from carefully worked yew and a right angled crook at the shoulder leading to the blade that was completely copper. Despite the fact that the copper ore sources in the Alpines are known to have been exploited at the time, a study indicated that the copper in the axe came from southern Tuscany.
That's really cool.
And was let into the forked end of the crook and fixed there using birch tar and tight leather lashing.
So this man literally used tree tar to, like, glue it in place before hooking. That's... Okay, he's a little bit my hero, because this man is out there. He is foraging. He is killing goats. He is making clothes. He is the... Honestly, he's my idol.
Yeah.
He's getting it all done, way more than I am.
Crazy about him. In May 2012, that's when I graduated high school, scientists announced discovery that he still had intact blood cells, the oldest complete human blood cells ever identified.
That's crazy. Oof. To me.
In most bodies this old, the blood cells are either shrunken or mere remnants, but his have the same dimensions as living red blood cells and resemble a modern-day sample.
Can you even imagine that shit? I can't even understand the technology that can understand that that is available.
The cause of death remained uncertain until about 10 years after the discovery of the body. It was initially believed that he died from exposure during a winter storm. Later, it was speculated that he may have been a victim of a ritual sacrifice, perhaps for being a chief of a tribe. The explanation was inspired by theories previously advanced for the bodies recovered from peat bogs. I don't know the fuck a peat bog is. I could probably guess, but it sounds like a terrible place.
A type of what?
Peat bog.
Beats me, bro. I'm like, carry on. I'm interested in the deer leather, though. No, goat leather.
Yeah, goat leather. In 2001, x-rays revealed that he had an arrowhead lodged in his left shoulder when he died, and a matching small tear on his coat. The discovery of the arrowhead prompted researchers to theorize that he died from blood loss from the wound, which would probably have been fatal even if modern techniques had been available. I'm just confused how they missed that prior, but okay.
I guess, no, I don't know, because they could see microscopic tattoos, so I don't have an answer for that.
One of the cuts to the base of his thumb reached down to the bone but had no time to heal before his death. Currently, it's believed that he bled to death after the arrow shattered the scapula and damaged nerves and blood vessels before lodging near his lung.
That sounds tragic.
Okay. Most researchers had assumed that he died pretty roughly on the spot where he was found, but it was proposed in 2010 that he died at a much lower altitude and was buried higher in the mountains. According to their study of the items found near him, at their locations, the Iceman may have been placed above what had been interpreted as a stone burial mound, but his body subsequently moved with each thaw cycle that created a flowing watery mixture driven by gravity before being refrozen.
So this person thinks he just, like, unthawed and...
Mm-hmm. And just, like, floated down the...
That doesn't make sense to me.
Floated up the mountain? I'm confused.
Doesn't make sense for how well he's preserved.
Yeah, no.
I think they were saying he was up the mountain further and came down to where they found him. Maybe. But honestly, I have no idea, because those articles and the fucking scientific words sometimes, I'm just like...
It's a lot.
Christ.
Biological anthropologist Albert Zink argues that the Iceman's bones display no dislocations that would have resulted from a downhill slide, and that the intact blood clots in the arrow wound would show damage if the body had been moved up the mountain. In either case, the burial theory does not contradict the likelihood of a violent cause of death, but they really don't know.
So the first time I ever heard about this story, I heard a theory that the person who killed him had to have known him. Mm-hmm. Because there's no way that they wouldn't have taken the copper weapon. It was too valuable at the time then. Mm-hmm. So the fact that they didn't take it meant that they really didn't want anyone to know he was dead at all.
Interesting.
So, and because of the, some Yeah, I can't remember, because honestly, it was like a TikTok, so it was like a minute and a half long.
Yeah.
So they didn't go into a ton of details, but I just remember it being like a speculation that he was murdered by someone he knew, which is kind of cool.
Interesting. Well, that's him.
That's him. That's what happened. He died. Oh, no, he died.
A long time ago.
I know, but that's really interesting to me how they can date all of those things and kind of put that shit together. Like, they got
it's weird as shit. Yeah, I don't know about all that, but...
That's all our right, story. Go We're off, sticking sis. To it. Right? In your leggings, please. We love you guys so much, and that's all I have to say, so bye!
Bye.